are listening to the Business Podcast, featuring today's most successful entrepreneurs and business leaders.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
Are you ready?
Hey, welcome to the Parents Culture Parents Network. I'm your host, Michael H. Scott. And here this evening, we're going to talk about the recruiting aspect of the process. What is it in the process? What is it that you need to know as a parent? What is it that you want to know as a parent? Should you be involved in the recruiting process? Do you think that that's something that you really and truly should be a part of? I would tell you yes. Parents, we must be the advocates for our children. We must be that frontline person for our children. In other words, I'm telling you, parents, you have to be your child's very first agent in the college recruiting process. So if you're interested, hey, let me know.
Yes, yes, yes. We're back. We're back on the air this Sunday evening, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as you know, folks, we bring you some information that, you know, I hope it's an eye-opener. I hope it's something that you really and truly get something out of. I'm going to have to create a survey or a poll or something to make sure that our listening audience is really and truly getting something out of each and every show that we present to make sure that we're doing the right thing. To make sure that parents are benefiting from the information that we are sharing. We're sharing this information based on firsthand experience. We're sharing this information based on lifelong lessons, or should I say not lifelong lessons, I would say over the past 10 years. Over the past 10 years, lessons learned. And not only is it coming from my perspective, M.H. Scott, but it's coming also from the perspective of quite a few of our great supporters that's out there that's coming in from time to time. As last week, you heard a young lady came on from Mothers of Athletes and shared some insight on things that she has experienced. She has a son that's playing professionally. She has a son that's playing at the college level. So that experience, that knowledge, that information, that wisdom, that insight, hopefully it proves to be priceless to the many of you in that next generation of parents that's coming along. So as always, folks, I let you know if you want to call in and share your thoughts, your ideals, your information, your just some, you know, just ask a question or so. You can always reach us here. Because we are live. You can reach us here at 917-889-2836. I'll say that number again. 917-889-2836. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what's your thoughts. We want to hear and see if there's anything out there that we touched upon that might help you and help your child be successful and today's recruiting process. Because as we know, folks, the recruiting process is an ever-changing factor, and it can be a little complex because it has so many different moving parts. But every time we come on the air, we try to take one of those parts and break it down for you folks to make sure that you are going to get the best out of every situation. Every situation. So, I'll give you a second or so. Go ahead, get your pen and paper ready, because I'm just going to share some more tidbits and some nuggets, some great nuggets with you this evening. Something that will hopefully get you over the hump or give you a better insight of what you're dealing with. And, of course, you always know that you can reach out to the Parents Culture Parents Network for some one-on-one Consulting. From one-on-one guidance, we can work with you all the way through the process. But again, if you want to call in this evening, 917-889-2836. I'll say that number again, 917-889-2836. I want to give you a second or so to go ahead and get your pen and paper together. And while you're getting your pen and paper together, we're going to go ahead and jump out for some quick infomercials, and we'll be right back.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports, in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
All right. I know you got that pen and paper together and ready to take some copious notes. So we're going to go ahead and get started, folks, because I know that the hour is slowly sneaking upon us, and I don't want to keep you up here too late. I know many of us have to get up and get on that grind again tomorrow morning and make some great things happen in the lives of others. So as a result, I'm not going to prolong this any further than necessary. This evening, folks, I want to talk about standing the college coach's sales pitch. You know, because the college coaches come to you with a great sales pitch. And that's really and truly what they are doing. You know, many of them compare themselves to car salesmen. And I find that to be very interesting. For a college coach, someone that we would like to think that's in the life of a young athlete, our children, to help groom our children, shape them, mold them to become prominent professionals in our society, many college coaches have a tendency to compare themselves with or think in the mindset of being a car salesman. And, of course, you know, many car salesmen want to be college coaches. But I think the disturbing factor here, when I hear about a coach who, you know, puts himself in the position of a car salesman. Wow. You know, folks, that tells me, forces me, angers me to the point of saying I need to share some more information, some more knowledge and wisdom and insight with the next group of parents so that they know what they're getting themselves into. Why? Because let me break this down and unpack this thing and give it to you from a slightly different perspective. Now, we as adults have had the opportunity to go out there and purchase a car. And one thing that we know, and that conversation comes up every single time we purchase a car. Once you drive that car off the lot, the value of that car drops. Now, while that car is on the lot, you know, we're looking at it and, you know, we're looking at all the bells and whistles and the shine and the gleam and everything else, you know, and we're just in awe with that car. Well, once you drive the car off the lot, it depreciates. The value of that car drops. College coaches that look at themselves as car salesmen, do they really and truly believe that once they secure that athlete, his value drops? And now they're looking for the next best thing to come along? That's a little disturbing to me. Think about all the things that they do to hype up a car when you go out there on the lot. You may look at a car that's a total limit, but when you see it on the lot for the very first time, oh, man, that is your dream car. That is the car of all cars. That's the car that you want and you must have. That car has drawn you in. You circled the block just to get back to that lot because you were driving by. You were looking around, and all of a sudden out the corner of your eye, you caught the glimpse of this car. You circled the block. You drove up on the lot. And now you're trying to figure out how you're going to get that car. Very interesting. Because they have done everything possible for that car to draw your attention. Well, that's the same thing that college coaches do as they're trying to sell you or sell your child what many of our children look at as a dream of a lifetime. Man, the opportunity to play at the next level, the opportunity to play college sports, and if you're at a high enough level in the game, the opportunity to be seen by thousands of people. And if you're playing college sports, more than likely you're going to be seen by thousands of people at every level. But in some cases, you may even be seen by tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. All depends on which level you're playing at. So our children look at this opportunity as a dream of a lifetime. A dream of a lifetime. Meanwhile, the college coach is simply trying to make a sale. Simply trying to make a sale. Sad to say and to look at it that way, but college coaches that are in the recruiting business, you know, some of them are even more so, you know, they have a little bit more focus on the staff to be a key recruiter and to help make that sale and to help land that candidate into their program. So they take sales and marketing classes. They come up with the same approach as a car salesman. And oftentimes you may hear me joke about, hey, a college coach will be able to sell you the dough out of a biscuit without even breaking the crust. That's the reality of it, folks. Many of them have perfected that craft, the art of sales, and are so proficient at it, you don't even know when you've been had. So, what are we going to talk about this evening? We're going to talk about some things that you may hear coming from college coaches. You may talk about some things that just will kind of like be an eye-opener for you as it pertains to dealing with college coaches. Because it is a business for them. It is a very lucrative business in some cases, in many cases. But we as parents have to be savvy, have to be wise, have to be informed to do what? To ensure that our child is going to get the best out of every situation and reach their own personal level of success. So, without further ado, let's move right along. Again, if you want to join in on the conversation, more than happy, 917-889-2836, 917-889-36. You can just join in on the conversation, share some insight, share some things that you may have experienced as a parent. Or some of the questions, you may have some questions because you may be the next generation parent and just now going through the process. Or you may be a parent of a professional athlete and you're just listening into the show, tuning into the show, and you may have some great wisdom to share with us as well. So we welcome everyone. Or if you just listener that's out there and you want to chime in on the conversation, Dave, you're welcome to do that as well. Again, 917-889-2836. Let's get this show rocking. You know, I talked about all these college coaches that like to look at themselves as car salesmen. You know, as they're trying to make their sales pitch, they have two things in mind, two primary things in mind, that they're going to win at the end of the day and the institution's going to win at the end of the day. When they win, the institution wins. Now, note that I did not say and have not said that we, as a family, your athlete and yourself or your family is not included in that equation. That's a little disturbing to me. It's not a win-win-win situation. The coach wants to ensure that he's going to win. And his institution will win. What do I mean by that? He's going to bring in the best possible recruit to fit his program. And that recruit is going to be the recruit that does all the tangibles, fits into the program, be able to bring him some W's in the win column, coachable, you know, have a great upside, as they like to state, and can keep him or help him stay employed. Coaches win. What's the institution's win? Well, folks, the institution's win, running right along the same lines as the coach. But the institution's win is to make sure that you have someone that's going to be academically eligible throughout, that can help fill the seats in the stadium, in the arena, courtside, wherever. The mother of, like one of my callers from last week, from Mothers of Athletes, stated, help put butts in the seats. And it's not going to be a distractor or embarrassment to the institution. Not going to go out there and have his name on the blotter or on the ticker on a regular basis. Not going to go out there and draw attention to him or herself so that, you know, you have law enforcement looking for him, or you have media reporting on him on a regular basis, him or her on a regular basis for some type of negative impact. When the institution has situations like that, that's not a win for them. They want to make sure that anytime media is talking about that individual, be it male or female, they're talking about it in a very, very positive light. A very positive light. So, the Colts win and the institution wins. Now, occasionally, the family may win. But for the most part, the two primary focuses is the coach winning and the institution winning. Do you think either of the two really care whether or not the family wins? Sad to say, I seriously doubt it. I seriously doubt it. You know, how are our children drawn into this recruiting process? Because you have a very savvy and slick-tongued coach that knows the game. You know, and in knowing the game, he or she has the ability to be an effective listener just as well as he or she is a quick talker. Why be an effective listener? And that's something that we have to master too, parents. We have to be able to be an effective listener when we're listening to the coaches talk and be able to ask those hard questions without a problem, without a doubt in your mind, be able to ask those hard questions. But here's something that coaches are able to do in their recruiting process, in their sales pitch, in their marketing and advertisement mode. They're able to listen to your response, tailor or modify their next approach based upon what they just heard you say. Now, may there be some falsehoods in the conversation? I really and truly would question a lot of it. That's why I say we must be effective listeners as parents, because if you hear something that doesn't sound quite right, or you hear something that's slightly contradicted, then you as a parent have all actuality and all rights to challenge that or question that. You know, I'm going to give you a little story. One time during the recruiting process, I was sitting in the high school coach's office along with my son and the high school coach, and two college coaches came in, and they realized that, hey, you know, I'm all about the family. They realized that, hey, Mr. Scott is there for his son. He's going to be there 24/7. So as a result, the college coaches came in with the conversation of, and you know, and it was a bait situation. You know, they were trying to bait me to see where I was at. But they came in with the conversation of, oh, yeah, we're family men. We're all about family. You know, and both of them talked about their wives and their wives being part of the program, and, you know, their wives inviting the kids out to the houses for you know, dinners and stuff like that, and, you know, just taking care of the kids, and they're, you know, trying to give me the impression that they were all about the family environment. Well, the problem I had, and I know it wasn't obvious to my son, but it was definitely obvious to me that there was a problem, or there is a problem in this conversation. Because as I looked at both coaches, and I just quickly gave them a quick glance, not to be too obvious, I noticed that neither one of them wore a wedding ring. That was a little interesting, a little disturbing how you are promoting to be a family man and you're all about family, but yet and still you don't wear a wedding ring. Should have inquired and said, hey, let me see some family photos just to see if the ring was present during the family photos. But I didn't take it that far. It was just very obvious that the conversation was just for my attention. Because there were some things later on as we moved about the high school and the eyeballing of the coaches as they looked at every female that walked by. You're trying to convince me and my son that you are a family man. Well, there's a small problem there. A family man with some real issues. So as a result, I had to put that school on the back burner. On the back burner. What coaches are ready to give you whatever answer you want to hear? After they thoroughly looked at your situation or listened to your situation. You know, and that's really and truly sad, because you would think you would get more honesty coming from them instead of just a line. So when you see stuff like that, that's very, 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 very disturbing. Well, folks, we are halfway through the show, and we're going to step away for a little bit, give you a chance to get you wet your whistle, or get you some popcorn, or sharpen your pencil, or you may have to even run to the bathroom, but I don't want you to miss anything. So we're going to step away for a little bit and just let you get some get yourself together, come back, and we're going to finish up the last half hour here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Again, you can always call in at 917-889-2836, 917-889-2836. We'll be right back, folks.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hating then, playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
end with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
We're back again. If you want to call in and join in on the conversation, you can always join in at 917-889-2836. I'll say that number again, 917-889-2836. I hope everything that we have covered thus far, you know, have been something that's been of value to you as a parent of a current student athlete, and helping your child get through the recruiting process or start to develop a game plan for the recruiting process. Because many times we get lost in that conversation, parents, and we get lost because we're not familiar with the recruiting process, so we take a back seat, not realizing the impact that the recruiting process has not only just on that child being recruited, but everyone in the household. Everyone in the household is affected by the recruiting process. Younger siblings looking at their older sibling take that step, excited about them, you know, looking at them and you know, saying, hey, you know, one day I'm going to be in that situation. Or saying something even more so, hey, oh, man, he's getting ready to leave me. He's going to be going away to school. A little sadness may come into play. But all of that is something that we need to get a grip on. And the Parents Coach the Parents Network is here to help you get a better understanding of the recruiting process, to guide you through it, to assist you in any way possible, to mentor you and to help you elevate your skills, your knowledge, your understanding of the recruiting process. We help you play the game, in other words, folks. We help you play the game, guide you, assist you, mentor you, and help you elevate to the next level. All right? So let's continue talking about this here sales process that college coaches go through. You know, one of the greatest salesmen out there in the game is Nick Saban. Nick Saban is the head coach for Alabama's Crimson Tide football. Nick's been around for a number of years, and Nick's been very good at the process. So some of the things that Nick Saban liked to say, and I'm going to quote Nick, how good do you want to be? How good do you want to be? That's the question he may ask an athlete. How good do you want to be? You know, then he goes on and he talks about success. Success is never final, and failure is never final. What does he mean by that? He breaks it down for him. Now, I'm breaking this conversation down to a student athlete and sitting just having this conversation with them. You know, it's all part of the sales process. First, you ask me how good do I want to be. So you're telling me now that you're going to bring out the best in me. you're going to make me the best athlete that I can be. Well, I can do that at any school realistically if I have that determination to continuously put that work in. But that's what he starts with. Because then he turns around, he breaks down and uses the old analogy of cutting grass. Well, you can go out there and cut your grass and be successful at cutting your grass if you cut it one time. You successfully accomplished the task of cutting grass. But not only getting out there and cutting that grass, that's not it. That's not the end-all, be-all. Because the next thing happens after that, the grass will grow right back. So you have to continuously cut that grass, just like you have to continuously put that work in to make yourself better. So he brings them in, draws them in with that conversation. You know, because it became real simple to them now. You know, I can get out there, cut the grass one time, or I can get out there, go to the gym and give a nice hard workout or whatever and show them my top abilities and my skills or whatever, great 40 time, you know, maximize whatever I do on the bench. But if I don't stick with it, if I don't stay with it, if I don't continue that grind, then that can all fall apart. So that's how he starts out that conversation with a lot of his athletes. Then he talks to them about dominating. Dominating, being able to dominate their opponent. Don't just be satisfied, you know, he tells them, don't just be satisfied with winning a national title. If you even think about a national title, just stop. He tells them, I need you to think about dominating your opponent for the full 60 minutes we're out there on the field. And you know, those are some encouraging words. You know, because he probably follows that up with, if you're able to dominate your opponent, we'll get to the national title. But you got to be able to dominate your opponent. And how are you going to dominate your opponent? Just continue that grind. You know, he adds in there, do the things that other people fail to do or don't want to do. Put that extra work in. He's selling them. He's selling his program. He's selling them the mindset of, oh, because the minute they slip or the minute that they can't meet his requirements, and now he can always say, you're not working hard enough. So now he can use that as a statement of, I got to get somebody to replace you. It's all part of the game, folks. All part of that sales pitch. You got a kid that has maxed out and just can't turn that corner, or it may take them a minute or two before they turn that corner, and it's not at the time when he wants them to turn that corner. They can easily be replaced. Replacements in the making. He's a great salesman. He is a great salesman. At the same time, he has replaced kids after 1 year. Another kid came in, the kid that he had picked up the year prior, scholarship's no longer good. Kids transfer out or just fall back on the depth chart. You know, some of the other things that he shared with his athletes is, you know, you always want to invest. Don't just spend. And what do we mean by that? Saban says, invest your time. Don't spend your time. Invest your time. Don't spend it. He says successful people invest time, energy, money, and improving themselves. Most people don't have the idea of what their money is being spent on. That's him talking. That's him giving that sales pitch. That's him pushing the kids to the next level. Great thing if you're going to stick with it, or if you really and truly mean it, or if you're not going to say them very same lines to the next kid that you're trying to put in a spot over the kids you just brought in. The next thing that he likes to push or likes to promote is have the right priorities. Now, many of us will tell our kids and promote to our kids having the right priorities, going there and getting your education, so on and so forth, and you know, doing your thing in the classroom, and at the same time doing the best that you can do out there on the field. Well, let me share with you Nick Saban's philosophy. And his philosophy is whole very strong. He says, you know, something as simple as, don't worry about mouse dropping when you have elephant dung in the same area. Don't worry about mouse dropping when you have elephant dung in the same area. Very simple, very easily understood. But when he breaks it down and talks about what that really and truly means, one thing that he stresses is he's not worried about customer satisfaction. We as a family, my child and my family, are his customers. He's not worried about whether or not we're satisfied. That could be the least of his concern. He's more concerned with increasing customers. He's not worried about whether or not we're satisfied. He's more concerned with increasing customers. Because his philosophy is, if he can increase customers, have more and more kids want to come to his program, then evidently he's going to convince somebody that they are satisfied, which really and truly may not be the case. Now, as I'm sitting here and I'm telling you these things that Mr. Saban has shared, that was actually in an article titled Winning Sales Strategy from National Champion Alabama Roll Tide Football Coach Nick Saban. And this article came out March of 2016. So this is not stuff I'm just pulling off the top of my head. And I'm using Nick Saban as an example because of the simple fact that he is one of the most winningest coaches in college sports, and probably the highest paid college coach. But as I said, his priority is not on customer satisfaction. His priority is on acquiring more customers. So again, that should ring a bell if that situation presents itself in front of you when you're talking to any coach. Is he really and truly concerned about, at the end of the day? And that goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of the show, whether or not it's a win-win-win situation, or whether or not it's simply win and win. The coach wins and the institution wins. What happened to the family? That's that customer satisfaction. But that's not a concern of his. Yeah, another thing that coaches focus on, you know, is increasing the fan base and selling you the audience of being able to play in front of tens of thousands of people. That's all part of that sales pitch. That's all part of that conversation to make sure that you know, hey, we are here. We're going to make this happen. So, telling you that sales pitch. You know, coaches are actually taught to utilize and how to utilize social media to build relationships. That is actually part of the recruiting strategy. Coaches are taught on how to utilize social media to build relationships. Now, think about this. For the most part, on social media, which a lot of our kids are using these days, part of social media, you have a very small window, 120, 140 characters, whatever it is. But coaches are taught to carefully, with great design, put together that little blurb to draw your attention, to draw the interest of your child. And those very few words that they're able to put together in a quick post, those words are done by design. They are placed by design in order to draw you in. So they actually have a strategy, perfecting it as a science, to be able to build a relationship on social media. Building a relationship on social media. And I probably can go into this subject by itself, spend the next 20, maybe 15 to 20 minutes just on this subject alone. But I got a couple more points I need to hit. But I just want you to know and understand that is something that is very strong out there. Being able to build a relationship on social media. You know, another thing that they really stress the point of is maximizing the arena's entertainment efforts. You know, they know that your child is coming to the arena and, you know, now, hey, they're going to draw them in by maximizing what's going on in the arena that particular day that they come in for a football game visit or whether or not they come in for a basketball game visit, baseball game, whatever the case, whatever it is. They know how to maximize. That particular night is targeted. The target is your child or those recruits that are actually on the scene that night. From the random fan that you look across to the other side and all of a sudden holding up a poster, you know, to put your child in the game, to a student section that's chanting your child's name as he or she just entered the arena, to your child showing up on the Jumbotron, whatever it is, all part of the hype, all part of the game. Part of that sales pitch that coaches are very effective with putting together. Again, you want to join in on our conversation this evening, 917-889-2836, 917-889-2836. Love to hear from you. I know I got a couple of callers out here that just normally just listen in. I don't think they have anything. I don't see any indicators showing that they have anything that they want to add to the conversation. So I'm going to continue on. You know, just some of the other things that, you know, college coaches do is to make sure that, you know, they know as much about you as they can possibly learn. And that's all part of building that relationship. You know, it's them doing their homework. I applaud them for their due diligence. I applaud them for the level of interest that they put in it. And at the end of the day, they put the right amount of interest in it. They are successful. But again, we as parents have to be equally as savvy in this situation. Because if we're not, we're going to be easily, and our children will be easily drawn in. Situation may not be, that may not be the real true fit for our child. I've seen many of situations where, you know, the red carpet was rolled out and the child thought that, hey, this was the best place because, you know, this program appeared on national television a few times, so on and so forth, whatever. But at the end of the day, it turned out to be a sad situation because the coaching staff wasn't right. The coaching staff was very abusive. I had the opportunity to attend a unofficial visit with my son some years ago. And they had, you know, expressed some interest in my child. And so we went to watch one of their games. And it was a preseason game, and, you know, preseason games, you anticipate, you know, the home team winning and, you know, them just basically getting out there, just putting together a nice little show for you. In doing so, I was looking at, you know, my son was watching the game, you know, and seeing what different players are doing to see how he can fit into the program. I'm watching the coaching staff and all surrounding pieces. And I noticed something. I noticed the head coach, his bench decorum. In other words, folks, parents, you know how important it is. His bedside manner. His bedside manner was truly horrible. He turned around and literally used profanity in talking to his assistant coach. Now, he felt comfortable enough to do that in an open arena during a live game to another adult. Could you imagine what his conversation may have been, could have been, or probably has been with his players? So at that point, that was a very strong turnoff. I said to my son on our way back home, may not be the place that you want to go, because I couldn't have seen, as a dad, as a supportive dad, another man belittling, just disrespecting, you know, antagonizing my child, you know, something, doing something to my child that I don't even do. I can't see that. So at that time, my focus, my understanding of the process was to ensure that wherever he went, whatever school he went to or chose to go to, I had to make sure that that coach understood I'm going to support my child, and I'm going to support my child to the fullest. So please do not think that you're going to belittle my child, disrespect my child, abuse my child, or anything of that nature. Because then we have to have a man conversation. And I spoke to the school that he ended up going to, and I shared those very same thoughts with the coach. And I believe he received it. Now, there was one time where I thought he tried to cross that line, and had I been close enough to be within earshot of the conversation, it may have went totally different. But at that particular day, at that particular game, I wasn't in earshot to get a better understanding of what was happening or what had happened. So as a result, I missed it. And then when I talked to my son later on, he was okay. I said, okay, let me know what you want to do. Let me know what you want to do. Well, parents, we have to be informed. We have to be part of the process. We have to be our child's first line of defense. We here at the Parents Coach the Parents Network use this hashtag all the time. We must be our child's biggest advocate. Be an advocate. Be an advocate. We have to. We have to for our children. Because they don't know the situation that they're getting themselves into. They can only assume that they know the situation that they're getting themselves into. They can only assume that this is going to work out for them. But as it goes, whatever institution they decide, we must implant ourselves and let them know that we are there to support them in their decision. Implant ourselves in the form of making sure that they know, hey, you're going to be there at a moment's notice, whenever that time requires. So, folks, on that note, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. And as always, here on the Parents Coach of Parents Network, we're going to see you again next week to make sure that you get the best out of every situation and every opportunity we provide. Have a great evening.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm singing.
Parents Coaching Parents Network is that motivational vehicle that helps you build a stronger bond with your child as you look and as he looks or she looks towards that scholarship time that